Good evening and welcome to the Atascadero's Community Redevelopment Agency. We will start with a roll call, please.
Chairperson O'Malley.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Kelly.
Here.
Board Member Bayrou.
Here.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First agenda item, approval of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Board Member Fonzie.
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou.
Yes.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Kelly.
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Next agenda item is community forum for anyone to speak to the agency on any item not on the agenda. And seeing no one come forward, we will close the community forum. We have a consent calendar. One item. Yes, we have the request for a transfer of marketing agreement by a Carlton Hotel.
And Mr. Chair, I should advise you that I spoke with the representatives from Carlton Hotel Investments, LLC, this afternoon, and they requested that this matter be put over to the April 28th meeting of the agency.
Very good. Can we do that by consensus, or does
yes.
that require a motion? Okay. I assume we're all
okay
in agreement.
Right.
Thank you. We do not have a public hearing this evening. We do have a management report. Our Assistant City Manager, Jim Lewis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I wanted to give you an update on Colony Square this evening. The community's had great interest in this, and so I quickly wanted to share with you how the project's moving forward and what we've done to date. Get the presentation pulled up here. So tonight, again, I want to update you and share with you in form and concept. And I think there's been some discussion, and that's what this has been all about. And the impact here is if we're successful in the project that the agency board has adopted, the theater could be built in the next 12 to 14 months and could start construction as soon as we have a third bank partner 6 weeks after that. And so we're really close. It's really a financing issue, and I'll get into that. But I think the so what for our community is we're really close to a movie theater for them. We just need one more bank. So we have been working with Mission Community Bank. Anita Robinson, the president and the CEO of Mission Community Bank, has been outstanding, being a leader from the private sector in this. This is really a private-public partnership, and they continue to work with us on the loan guarantee program. The building permits for the theater are completed. So at City Hall here, when they're ready to pull the permits, we're ready to issue. So that's set. And the last piece is the maintenance agreements. It talks about how we care for the square, the trash, the road maintenance, landscaping, et cetera. Kind of like an HOA agreement, if you will, how that works. We're just working through that with the owners, and those are nearly complete. Again, once funding is ready, the project's ready to go. So let's talk about funding really quick. There are two components to the funding. The first is the construction of the theater building itself, and then the second is the tenant improvements from the theater operator. The theater operator's tenant improvement loan is completed through Heritage Oaks Bank, and so that money is ready to go, and that's to actually put the screens in, the cameras, and the seats, and all the things that make a movie theater a theater. Mission Community Bank, we asked, remember when we proposed this to you, getting three bank partners to go along with the agency. Mission Community Bank was the first bank in supporting the community. We learned today that Santa Lucia Bank has approved the loan. So that's just terrific news, a real leader in our community. The bank has always been a partner in things. The bank partners with our road loan program. They've been a longtime partner of the agency in the city. We're so pleased to see that they're going to be part of the project. And so Santa Lucia's bank is in. A third bank is needed. And Anita Robinson is going to be pursuing that with us, and she's very helpful. And I think with two banks and your commitment as the agency in, that third loan should be, we hope, favorable to get that. So this loan guarantee program, let's talk about this again. There's been some question. We've tried to model this after the SBA 7A loan program, which is simply a guarantee on a portion of the loan that allows for more money to be lended. And so we'll talk about that. So basically, the agency is putting up to $1.5 million as a guarantee to this. And what that means is you will be depositing that money at Mission Community Bank. Now, that will be an investment. That money is deposited elsewhere right now, so earning interest. And so you're going to take that money in the name of the agency and deposit it at the bank, and it will continue to accrue interest. That's an investment of the agency. Should there be an issue, and we'll get into what that could be, a portion or all of that money could be at risk, at which point we'd have a matter of days or weeks to write a check to the bank to backfill the money if it were lost. And we'll talk about how that happens. So you are depositing $1.5 million in an interest-bearing account at Mission Community Bank. That is the collateral for the guarantee. And we would be charging up to 3.75%. Now, 7A loans have erased that fee very recently as part of the stimulus package. And so we're looking into if we could do that as well. But this fee is to try, we're trying to be as similar as the SBA 7A loan program as possible, and that has ramifications with the Department of Industrial Relations, et cetera. That's a federal program, and so we're trying to mirror that, which makes it acceptable to the state industrial rules. And so basically when the money's deposited, it functions like the 7A program. The $1.5 million, the funds will be drawn down as this is built. So I wanted to share the money. It isn't as if the partners in building this project could take the $13 million, or actually the loan would be around $9.5 million, and take off. That is, it's a construction loan. So as progress is made in construction, the money is drawn down and put into construction. Drawn down, put into construction. Regular reports are given to the banks before the next drawdown so you can see progress and how this works. Because it's a construction loan, this is a short term. It's a limited term loan. So I wanted to make sure the board understood that. It could be 2 years up to 3 years for the period of construction, and then they want to make sure the theater is open and functioning and having cash flow before it reverts to long-term financing and the construction loan is refinanced. When that occurs, then our money would be released, and the commitment of the agency is over, and they move forward to long-term financing, as any commercial project would do. And so our risk potential under the loan guarantee for the funding is in the event that the project is almost built and stops, or the theater leaves, and we can't find another operator. It's half built, whatever. And so then the project would have to be sold on the market. It would go, there would be payments missed. It would go into a foreclosure process. This is all stipulated in the agreement and concept. And so the bank would start moving forward to foreclosure. The bank then would try and find other operators to try and pick up the project and keep it moving, and we would work with them as well. In the event we could not, and the project were liquidated at auction or sale somewhere else, if the project did not raise enough capital to meet the loan amount, $9.5 million, then our $1.5 million would be the first at risk in that point. So basically you have a project that's, and then the loan with the guarantee can get closer to the amount needed. Remember, we saw those slides in December, and so that's the program we're taking a look at. Again, this just shows the benefits. In this case, you're leveraging funds, you're involving the private sector, you're getting a theater downtown, hopefully, or prioritization of downtown. We're hoping there'll be increased tax increment and a spillover throughout the downtown. These are the rewards of the risk that the agency board is suggesting in this program. We talked about the potential loss of funds and that this money will be tied up for the period that it's invested and not put towards other projects. So that's kind of what the loan guarantee agreement says and does. It stipulates all of those things. It's been written by our city attorney, and he can answer specific questions on the agreement if you have any. There's a second form in your packet this evening, and it's a reimbursement and indemnification agreement. Slide up. Basically, this says that if the $1.5 million is lost, there's a personal guarantee from the project owners that they will make every attempt to pay that back in 12 months with interest. And we've put this agreement together because the agency board had directed staff to try and put, to try and share the risk with the project owners as best we could and make this as least risk to the agency as possible. So we've put this agreement together for you. It's an optional agreement. It's something we're recommending. The indemnification portion of the agreement also says that the owners indemnify the agency against any issues with the project, and we would strongly recommend that. Again, the reimbursement portion is something we've put together for you to give you that option, and the attorney does recommend this agreement. So that that concludes my report. We wanted to just update you and show you the documents. And I guess we say approve the documents to form on a recommendation. What we really want to just get is a thumbs up or a nod that the agency board says, yes, this is headed in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you for your brief and concise report, Mr. Lewis. Any board member questions? I'll just go from my left to my right. Go ahead.
I don't have any questions, but I think we're on the correct road to take the project forward. And I'd like to thank Anita for all the hard work that you've done getting the loans. I know it's really hasn't been easy, but thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Fonzie.
I too agree that we're on the right track, but I have some questions about what would trigger taking the $1.5 million. It wasn't clear from the agreement whether, let's say, there was a missed payment, would that come out of the $1.5 or it would only be in the case of bankruptcy or some other action?
The agreement provides, in its current form, that if the there's a default on the loan and there's a foreclosure on the loan, that and the sale of the property was insufficient to cover the balance due on the loan, at that point in time, the bank would give notice to the agency of that shortfall, and the agency would then have 60 days within which to make payment of the difference. So if the shortfall were something less than $1.5, you know, $500,000, for example, that would be the amount of the guarantee. So that's the timing.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Board Member Barreau.
So in the document that we'll be agreeing to, will there be specific dates on what our timeline or our the time that we're exposed to this loss?
Yes, so in the document that will come back to you, in addition to the loan documents, or pardon me, the agreement in front of you, will be the full loan documents, and there will be the term of the construction loan, the rate, the payment schedules, all those things that are actually part of the full portfolio will come back to you. And so I think we'll have an understanding of how long the guarantee is going to assist, because it will be part of the loan document package, and you will see all of those when the program is finally put before you.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update.
Thank you. Member Clay?
Yes, I'm clear on what's going on. I just hope we can get that third bank in there as soon as possible.
Thank you. Any other board member questions? I will open up to the public for any input on this item. Welcome.
Thank you. my name is Len Colomarino. I'm an Atascadero resident. First of all, let me say that it's encouraging to see that this transaction is going ahead. It's very important for the city, I think, to move forward with this. And I certainly have been a supporter of the Colony Square project because it's a central piece of the downtown development that needs to take place. Having said that, though, I am an attorney, and I've looked at these documents. And I might say that my experience as a lawyer is right in this field of finance and business transactions, particularly including secured transactions. So this type of thing is quite familiar to me. I'm glad to hear that these documents are not regarded as being final in any sense, because I think there's a long way to go in finalizing them in a way that actually better to refer to this transaction in the documents as a legal matter as a pledge or a security agreement, a pledge agreement or a security agreement. Anyway, I think that's an important point. I understand that the documents are not anywhere near final. There's no loan agreement that's been negotiated and finalized between the lenders and the borrowers. That will include default provisions that will indicate when the city's risks are triggered. In any event, there's a ways to go. I think I'm glad to see that we're moving ahead with this, and I want to encourage you all to go forward, but to go forward with appropriate prudence. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment portion, bring it back to the board. Any other final comments or motion? I do assume our city attorney will use all diligence and expertise and work in our city's best interest.
Yes, and I did speak with Mr. Colomarino regarding some of his concerns, and I appreciate him expressing those. So we'll certainly be looking carefully at the agreement and any possible revisions that might be necessary to resolve any loose ends. The motion that would be made this evening should be a motion to approve the loan guarantee agreement and the reimbursement indemnification agreement in concept only, with the understanding that there may be further revisions to this agreement and that it's not, based on your action tonight, a legally binding document, but that the agreements as revised will be returned to you at a future meeting for your final approval with the loan agreement and the other agreements that you've seen this evening. So if you don't want to have to repeat what I just said, you can just move what the city attorney indicated would be the appropriate motion.
So that's moved. Always an appropriate
right.
idea.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion. We do have a motion on the floor and a second. Right. We'll have some discussion on that. I did think I saw some folks want to come in. Ms. Bureau, go ahead.
I'm just hoping that, you know, we have Bank of America and Rabobank who are right next door to this project. I hope that they will feel that they can step up to the plate and become that third partner. I'm really hoping.
I agree.
And I'm just hoping we can get there very soon. So.
Yes.
So he had the motion. Didn't know who had the motion.
First by Board Member Clay, second by Board Member Kelly. Any other discussion?
Let's go. Question.
And again, it's the recommendation of the city attorney. Roll call, please.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member Bureau?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. And now it's board announcements and reports. Seeing none, we'll adjourn to City Council.
I'm going to pause until I get the thumbs up from AGP. Okay, so we can go ahead and transition right to our City Council meeting. So welcome to the City Council meeting. We'll quickly change our hats here. So we'll begin with our Pledge of Allegiance, and I lead that, so please all rise and ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Bayrou?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Next item is approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Fonzie, seconded by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Bayrou?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Next item is the consent calendar. And we have lots of items on here tonight. Draft minutes from February 10th, draft minutes of the City Council meeting of February 24th, some road closures for Cinco de Mayo, for the ABC Church, for the Cancer Society's Relay for Life, Main Street's Great American Holiday Celebration. Item number 7 is the Dove Creek Commercial Center second reading. Number 8 is the amendment to West Front second reading. And number 9 is the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, and that's for the Police Department. Anyone on the council wish to pull an item?
Item 9, please.
Item 9, okay. And I several emails regarding this, and one of them included some pictures of other Tractor Supply businesses, and I would like to present those pictures and then have staff comment on them. Go ahead, Warren.
I don't have the pictures. I just have the elevations. Did you want us to show the pictures as well?
That's what I was hoping.
Okay. Why don't you skip to the next item? I'll load those up real quick.
Okay, great. Okay. I brought this to their attention yesterday. I didn't realize he had the pictures. So let's go to item number 8, and I don't really have any further comments. I just didn't agree with some of the changes being made. So we can go ahead and just do a roll call on that. Is that right? Correct, Marcia?
Well, if you pulled it, the public have to be. You have to go to the public if you pulled
it. Okay. So we will open it to public comment. Thank you for that reminder, Councilmember Clay. This is item number 8.
Yes. Good evening, City Council and staff. I was disappointed that at the last City Council, we're going on to the next one. Okay. It is also Okay. I was disappointed at the last city council meeting on this issue, the development next to the Holiday Inn Express. When there was discussion on the issue, it appeared that low-income housing was being removed from the equation. Is this true? It is also disappointing that Atascadero will have yet another fast food restaurant at this developing site. San Luis Obispo has no fast food drive-thrus in their city, and if Paso does, and I'm sure they do, they're not very obvious. While we have at least 12, count them, 12 fast food chain sites or drive-thrus, studies show that more fast food chain locations in a city means we will have fewer restaurants willing to locate in our city. I can picture guests at the hotel bypassing Jack in the Box to go to Paso for dinner because Atascadero still does not have adequate dining. As the city survey showed, less than 30% of our residents dine in Atascadero. Fast food restaurants provide short-term gains and long-term unattractiveness. I am also concerned about the city, after 2 years, is taking over the landscaping responsibility of this development site. Why would the city agree to this additional expense? I thought the same when we were advised by the city staff that the pedestrian bridge originally proposed and built by the developer at Colony Square, which would link Colony Square with the Sunken Garden, would be transferred to the city. Is this a pattern to relieve developers of what would seem to be their responsibility? And yet when the city had an opportunity for a pocket park across from the library, the reason the city let that property go was because they said they could not afford the upkeep. So I'm wondering how you can afford it in some areas and not afford it in particularly for this site that would have been a wonderful pocket park next to the library. Thank you.
Anyone else want to speak on this item? I'll go ahead and close it to the public and bring it back to staff. And Warren, could you review what happened on the low-income housing for that project?
Yes. There was an additional option.
Or up.
It's Can we on. Turn it up, Robin? Test. Is that better? Okay. The council added additional option on the affordable housing. So there's two options. At the developer's discretion, they can build all six units within the project, or they can just build the single very low income unit and the two low income units in the project, and then pay the in lieu fee on the three moderate income units that are required. So they have the option of not building the three moderate income units, but the two low and the one very low income unit have to be built under either scenario.
So they still have to either pay in lieu or they have to build and or have to build. Correct. So there was no real change except that they're allowed to pay the in lieu.
On the three moderate units only.
Okay.
The low and very low income units have to be built no matter what.
Okay. And then Councilmember Clay, you had a comment or question?
Yes. Warren, as I recall, the moderate units basically will be the same price as our retail units. Is that not right, the full retail?
We believe right now in this current market that the moderate income units and market rate units would probably be about the same.
And because of that, there would be absolutely no reason for someone to buy a moderate affordable unit and be stuck with 45 years where they can't sell it and so on and so forth, right?
It seems like that would be a
part of this item. The walking bridge, I understand there were some legal issues with requiring a developer to build something on city property that has city benefit as well as project benefit. Maybe our city attorney could offer some input on that, because I think we made some changes to that. Maybe the city attorney would rather not respond, but as it is, I think the walking bridge will be built part of that project, but that walking bridge is on city property or in the Creek Reservation area. Is that a correct understanding?
I'd have to defer to Warren on that, or perhaps Jim.
Well, the bridge goes from city parcel to city parcel because it lands on the property that this building is located on. So there was some cost sharing and some question about how that would be paid for. I think that's what you're recalling.
Yes, okay.
So it was a legal issue, right? That was my understanding at the time.
I don't recall that, but the council member's facts are correct in what he's saying. And I think that we had said at some point we'll come back to the developers and discuss the cost sharing of the bridge and how that works out. So the fact we knew there was some sharing involved and it could be a legal issue, I don't know that offhand. I haven't looked at it for a while.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes, I also like to state for the public to know that we were very careful as a council to not cluster the low-cost housing together. We made a very conscious choice to scatter it throughout the project so that it would be of benefit to the entire project. I was hoping that Warren could address the landscape maintenance as well for the public.
Yes, this is a fairly minor feature. It's a narrow strip of landscaping along the freeway fence adjacent to the road. It's going to be low maintenance plant material. We're going to work out the planting scheme with Public Works to minimize the maintenance requirements. We do expect that most of the maintenance will be in the initial 2-year establishment period. Once you get the plant materials established, they tend to do fairly well. We'll have to do a little bit of weed control, that sort of thing. It will be a cost to Public Works, but we believe it's acceptable.
Okay, so I'm ready for a motion.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we approve item 7 on the consent calendar.
Number 8.
Whoops. Is that 8? I'm sorry.
Yep.
Okay. I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilmember Kelly for the amendment to West Front Village. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Bayrou?
No, and for the record, I'd like to state that the reason is because of the changes in the residential area. I didn't approve with that.
Motion passes 4-1.
So we'll move back to item number 7, which is the Dove Creek Commercial Center Amendment. Thank you, Warren. So what we're doing here is these are some pictures that I had received from some members of the public, and I wanted everyone to see those because this is at another another area. I actually don't know which city it is. And I know from looking at the maps that ours won't look exactly like this, and I wanted the staff to have some time to address it. And this also allows for public comment because this is new information for the council as well as the public.
Can we
turn off the light right next to the screen to make it any easier? It looked a lot better on my computer. Because they're kind of dark. This one is, you know, like the outdoor sales area. And you can see it's actually an iron fence, and then it has like black netting on it. And you can see that there's some equipment, industrial-looking equipment that's taller than the fence. So
we call those plows.
I don't know what those are, but yes, thank you, Jerry.
I can't see.
Yeah. It's difficult to see. I'm sorry that it didn't turn out better. So, Warren, could you address each picture for me? Is that okay?
Yes. Let me put up. Okay, these are the approved elevations. So Tractor Supply Company, I believe they have 800 stores across the country, and each one obviously is going to be a little bit different. The store that they're going to build here in Atascadero has to be built to the standards that have been set by the City Council. So at your last meeting, you approved a master plan site and architectural approval for the project that locks in the very specifics of what the use of the building is and the appearance of the building is. They won't be able to get a building permit to build anything unless their plans are consistent with the elevations that are shown on the screen. So you can see the elevations were done
out of the building that allows some display. Does that allow those things that were in one of those pictures? It looks like the front of the plow or some tractor pieces. Is that also allowed at Dove Creek?
I think there's a condition on there about the heavier materials, I think, which would include the plows, that those are to be in the storage area. But I think in the first elevation, the things like the lawn mowers and some of that equipment, that would be allowed outside. But the plow-type feature, that would have to be within in the storage area. That's not supposed to be out in front of the store.
So we would expect that the tractor supply that Dove Creek is going to get will be at a much nicer than those pictures that we saw.
We know it will be.
Okay. So my intent was just to reassure people that we have worked with Tractor Supply to come with a good building concept. Any comments from Councilman Clay?
Just to clarify, they don't sell tractors, right? Because, you know, that's the one thing people...
Everything but tractors.
Thank you.
Any other comments before I open to public comment? No? Seeing none, I'll open up to public comment if anybody else wanted to say anything.
Good evening. My name is Keith Vreakin, a Tascadero citizen. My concern is, as was mentioned, that in the condition of approval, that no item shall be stored above the fence line, as we saw in the one picture. I was just going through the conditions, and I did not see that written down. Can we just make sure that that language is in there somewhere? Because I did not see it currently. Thank you.
Thank you. I see a couple more people.
Did you want to?
No, I was just going to have the staff address that.
Good evening, Mayor. Members of Council, my name is Mike Brandler. I live in Atascadero. And I just wanted to voice my opinion that you did a great disservice to the people, to the neighbors surrounding this particular area when you approved the outdoor sales of farm equipment. And one of the neighbors had spoke to me in the evening and referred to this as basically, from their standpoint, as a bait and switch. And I'm a little bit sympathetic to their reference to that. You know, when the people bought their homes there, you know, they had an expectation of the commercial development that was going to happen in their neighborhood, and it didn't include the types of storage that we saw in the pictures tonight. And so I think that's of great concern. And I know we have great intentions in Atascadero, but sometimes they go astray. So I hope when this project, if you do approve this project, that you really take great pains to make sure that the equipment that is stored there is stored behind those fences properly. We have several farm equipment storage or tractor storage up on just off of Highway 101 near, I think it's Ramada or Theater Drive up there. And just go take a look at, you know, take a look at the storage that occurs there. I'd hate to think that would happen in these neighborhoods, because it wouldn't be appropriate in an area that's surrounded by homes. In those particular areas, they're properly zoned, and they're just fine. But I am sympathetic, as I said, to the neighbors' concerns. And when when this matter was discussed a couple weeks ago, you heard the people. They weren't against the business itself. They're just, their main concern was the outdoor storage. So I hope you make sure that the city, make sure that it's appropriate in that particular area. Thank you.
Barbie Boots, a resident of Atascadero. And I think it's interesting that when something comes before us that doesn't touch us personally, it's so easy to just listen and then, you know, you either agree or you disagree. But when it really touches you personally, you take a different perspective. And our oldest son bought a condo out in Dove Creek. And I remember at the time that he was buying it, I said, well, you know, that project came before Parks and Recreation because of the passive park, the little playground and everything. We wanted to be sure that there was a park there, and there is. And he happened to purchase a condo right next to the little park. So we got into a conversation about the commercial building that was planned there. that area for commercial, and I told him at the time that I knew that it was to be what we had discussed early on. And so he listened to the council meeting, Homeowners Association, you know, could work with those people and voice their concerns and see if that can all be worked out to be, to make everybody happy. So I'm hearing traffic in and out of that area is a concern for the people that live there. So it'll be a good project. It'll be a good commercial project for Atascadero, and we need that. We know that. But I think right now we're at a time where we really have to work with those people that live there and be sure that they're, that if they have any issues, that we can address them. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. Tom Colmar, Atascadero, Council, Mayor, citizens. Yeah, I think it's a good project. I just think it's in the wrong place. And I think that was quite evident from the speakers here before that, one, it didn't really fit in with what was expected by the homeowners there. And I think the concern, it sounds like there, you know, a lot of the concerns have been addressed somewhat. But my concern, seeing the pictures, is that, one, that fence, you can see right through it. And they said they're going to put plants or planting or something like that. And I just wonder what is going to be the enforcement. I mean, if this is part of the condition of building or the use permit, who's going to be in there monitoring this down the road to make sure that what we saw there with the, you know, the parts of the plows or whatever they were, or fencing, corral fencing or whatever, doesn't get stacked up so that it becomes sort of an eyesore in that area. That'd be one question I have. The other one, was anything done about the school bus concern that Ms. Fonzie raised before with the traffic there and the bus stop and the mailboxes that the citizens raised? Nothing was really addressed that, well, other agencies have to handle that. But I think it behooves the city council, if they are going to go ahead with this project as is, that they address those issues for the citizens that live in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else approach the podium, I'll go ahead and close it to public comment. And I'll bring it back to staff to address a couple of items. The first speaker said the height of the items is not in the conditions of approval. Is that actually listed anywhere, Warren, to your knowledge?
It's not specifically listed that there's a height, but based on the purpose of the fence is to screen the materials, if materials are stored higher than the fence, that would be inconsistent with the purpose of the fence, and therefore that would be a violation, and we would take action to correct that. We have both the Community Development Department and the Code Enforcement Officer in the Fire Department would both have authority and typically would work together to figure out who would take the lead on those sorts of enforcement actions. Typically, commercial businesses are fairly easy to work with, and it wouldn't typically be something we'd expect to be too hard to get compliance on.
So would the city actually be monitoring it, or would it take a citizen complaint? To how would that process work?
Either would trigger it. If staff became aware that there was material being stacked too high, we would let them know just on a courtesy level, and if we received a complaint, we would follow up. So either case, we'd take action.
Okay. And then regarding the school and post office, is there any new information regarding those two issues?
Well, the council gave us direction on both those. So you did add a condition to deal with the mailbox. That is the applicant's responsibility, and directed staff to work with the school district on the bus stop issue, and we're doing that.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? Okay. So
I'll make a motion.
I'll let Jerry make the motion.
Okay. First off, you know, I think it's a good project, and I think when it's built, it's going to be an anchor, and there's going to be some other stores to go in there that people are going to appreciate. And I've gone through a lot of these battles, the 41 realignment, 28 years we fought that. the minute it was put in. I didn't hear one complaint after that. Everybody loved it. Sunken Gardens the same way. People really come up against it on the Sunken Gardens. It's, everybody thinks it's a beautiful project. So I'd like to move that we accept item 7 on the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Clay and seconded by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Bay Rowe?
It's a reluctant yes. I am a little concerned that we'll have a hard time monitoring the outdoor sales, but I do believe it's important that we begin development of that corner, and I'm hoping that it will bring... It was pulled. Roberta, do you want to address that?
Yes, I was hoping that staff could give us a brief explanation of this item and also explain for the public's benefit how this will benefit the public.
The police chief would be pleased to share that with you. Chief Mahal.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. This is the Edward Byrne Justice Grant. It is a federal grant that allocates certain monies to law enforcement. Our portion of that grant is $46,119. So in meeting with staff, they propose some of these items that you see before you. The first item on the list is a patrol rifle with lighting system, and these rifles are the frontline police rifle currently used in our patrol cars, and in most instances it's used in lieu of the time-honored shotgun. It's used continually by us in tactical emergency situations. It was used a number of years ago in a deadly encounter with an armed suspect in the south part of Atascadero. And most recently it was used, several rifles were used Sunday night on an armed individual who vandalized his parents' house and it kicked in the back door and was advancing on his mother, who was on the phone to our dispatch center when the officers interceded and were able to stop that with the use of these rifles, although no shots were fired. So the rifles are used as a frontline police service. The next item are some SWAT rifles. We are part of the county SWAT team in conjunction with the Sheriff's Department. These are rifles that will upgrade that team. The ballistic vest, I appointed one member of our department to the SWAT team. He's a very large individual, both in height and size, and we have no vest that will fit him. So this ballistic vest will be his. It will be the XXL large version for him. And the related equipment is to be used on the rifles as the lighting systems for the patrol rifles to be used in potentially hours of darkness. Crime scene investigation camera, we're upgrading our camera, obviously, for crime scene investigation and presentation in court. The most important part of those are photographs, and they have to be as detailed as possible. The police service dog training are for our two canine dogs. We have a strong program here in the city. In fact, our dogs are deployed throughout the county, and we're the first line to service other police agencies who don't have these dogs. And we tend to go to other places in the county to help them out with things. And so there's an increased cost in our level of training as other things go up, and this money will help supplant normal budget funds to support our two police dogs, including that newest one we've just purchased. And finally, we have paid compensation for grant oversight. The grant allows a 10% buy-in to permit our police department and our fiscal services to oversee the grant and use that money toward that administration. So that concludes the presentation. I'd be open for questions.
Very good. I want to thank you for pursuing this grant, and I think this will be a great benefit to our citizens.
Marcia?
I just want to make one note before you make your motion. Under the recommendation, there's a typo. It's $46,119 is the actual grant. It says $46,100. It should be $119. So when you make your motion, thank you.
Very good. I'd like to make a motion that we approve item 9 with the revision per Marcia.
I'll second.
I believe we do have to open a public comment.
We do.
So we can hold that motion and allow, if anybody, any member of the public wants to make a statement. Seeing none, I'll close it and we'll continue with our motion. Roll call, please. Is there any discussion? No. Roll call, please.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Bay Rowe?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
So that concludes our consent calendar, And we move on to the next item on our agenda, which is updates from the city manager. And he is not here. And we have our fill-in, Jim Lewis, our assistant to the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor Barreau and members of council. I do have a few items to update you on. First is last week, all of you attended a meeting sponsored by the Pacific Gas and Electric Company on AB 811, and that was a bill passed by the legislature that allows for assessments on property in a district formed by the residents themselves for the purpose of energy efficiency and installation of alternative energy devices, i.e. solar panels, et cetera, on homes. This legislation is really beneficial in that it lets property owners assess themselves for these improvements and pay for them over time as opposed to one lump sum. There are several benefits to the legislation. We're pleased that all of you attended that, and I just want to let you know that we see your interest. Staff has been working on this for some time. We plan on bringing an item back to you next month to actually move forward with this program and share with you some thoughts on solar and what it can do for our community. So we're pleased that you were all able to attend that, and I wanted to let you know we're moving forward with that. Second, we've heard some discussion about the buildings on the Hoff property that were in the fire, and they're still there, and what's going on? Will we get some cleanup to the area? Very fair questions. The Hofsters, we meet with them regularly. Warren and I have been meeting with them, and they have some insurance. They're just trying to work through the insurance process, and so they've inspected the buildings, $0.75 million in federal stimulus money, and that money will go towards finishing paving Santa Rosa Avenue and putting a bike lane in and additional streetscape. And so I just wanted to recognize Councilman O'Malley. Thank you, sir. Good job, and way to bring home some money for your community. Great job.
That's it for your update?
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, Councilmember O'Malley. Good job.
We earned our pay last Wednesday.
It's a tough job on those boards. Okay, so now we will move to community forum. And this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. And I see we have our first speaker. You may begin.
Good evening. I'm Grenda Ernst, and I'm an Atascadero resident. And I'm here this evening in my capacity as the president of the Atascadero Martin Poland Library. And this is National Library Week, so this is an especially good time for me to be here to talk to you. As many of you know, as all of you know, the Friends of the Library has committed itself to doubling the size of the library. And this week, we're very pleased to announce the beginning of our capital campaign to raise the funds that we need for expansion. We need about $6 million. And over the years, the Friends of the Library has collected $800,000 in donations in various forms. We also have $150,000 that the city has set aside for us from development impact fees. And then several years ago, you gave us $35,000, which has now grown to $50,000. So we have $1 million, and we have $2 million to go. The library is a city-county library, as you know, and we've been working with the county to talk about their share of the cost. And we understand that the city of Atascadero is not in a position to make a financial contribution to our expansion campaign, so we are very interested in discussion with you about creative ways that you can make a contribution to our expansion effort. I wanted to tell you just a few things about why expansion is needed now. Regularly, children are turned away from the toddler and children story times because there's not enough room for those children to attend those programs. Many teenagers come to the library after school because the high school is very close to the library. There's not room for them to do the work they need to do their homework, to do special projects. Our community room is one of the few, maybe the only, meeting room in the community that's free. We have over 40 groups a month that use the community room, and many other groups are turned away because there is such high usage. Other items that we've considered in deciding to expand at this time are that in the 20 years that the library has been open, there have been tremendous advances in library technology, and also in computer technology and what the computer gives us access to, and we want our library to be able to take advantage of those advancements. So the Friends of the Library is privileged, and we also feel it's our responsibility to give the community the kind of library it deserves, and we wanted you to know about our good news. Thank you.
I have a question.
Thank you, Granddad. Councilmember Clay had a question.
You said that you needed $6 million, and then you said you needed two more. Do you have matching funds from some source?
We have, with the county, yes. We have $1 million from the county that's in place, and we're talking with them about the other $2 million that would be their share. So my answer is yes, but I don't have it in writing.
So you need $6 million, though. Right.
We need $6 million for the project, but our share, Atascadero's, Friends of the Library, is $3 million.
Okay. And then the other thing, the expansion is going to be right there. You've got additional property to do the expansion. Is that not right?
That's right. We do. We have the property that's referred to as the hearing aid property right behind the library, and then next to it, the Brazil House, where the book sales are held, is also our property.
Okay. Thank you.
And Grenda, is it my understanding it's also going to become a two-story building? Is that correct?
No, not necessarily. We've hired, together with the county, we hired Omni Design from San Luis Obispo to do a site constraint study to look at environmental issues, zoning issues, parking, and whether there's a big enough area for the library footprint. They've made several suggestions. One of them is a two-story building, but it's certainly not been decided, and no architectural firm has been hired yet to do the actual design. And we don't know what the future will hold with that.
Okay. Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes, I was wondering if you could give us a point of contact or a website for those that will be this Saturday, 9 till 2. Historical Society will have a site there, and we are currently raising funds for the new museum that we have recently opened. And the second event I'm very excited about is the 25th of April will be our colony home tours featuring 5 colony homes. And then we have also gotten together with some of the realtors in town. And on top of the 5 colony homes, we will have an additional 5 that we'll have a map for that are on the market that realtors will stay open on 3 of them. So you're actually getting a bigger bang for the buck. And it is $15 for Historical Society members and $20 for the public, and we'd like you to come out and see the beauties that we have in Atascadero. Any questions?
I just want to say I've done that tour before, and it is really very interesting. And if anyone who's lived in Atascadero and has not done the tour before, it really is a great experience, and especially if you're in the market for a house. Boy, that's an opportunity.
Yeah, it definitely is. RT will be on the corner of Traffic and Omida, the Kids Corner, it used to be called, and now it's a private residence, and they have completely redone it. It's beautiful, so it'll be out in the lawns. So come out on the 25th and have fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lee Perkins, a task.
Push the button.
There we go.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I've been to the last city council meetings, and I've noticed that there were a number of questions that were asked during this community forum period that weren't necessarily addressed or answered by the city council. So I consider that a really important function of the city council, and I hope it will be continued to be honored. And along those lines, earlier I mentioned about the alarming number of fast foods, restaurants, or drive-throughs that we have in town. And I wish I could say that there were 12 nice restaurants instead of the fast food. And I know that some cities have limits. Some cities don't allow fast foods in town. Some of them have limits. Some of them have limits and only allow another fast food in when one leaves. And so I'm wondering if the city has any concern about the influx of fast foods to Atascadero. Thank you.
Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, and staff members. My name is Karen Hampshire. My husband and I are residents here in the area. We have 2 daughters that take their horses on trail rides here on the Anza National Historic Trail. They get access to this trail by the Wranglerettes Arena here in Atascadero. This trail is designated for hiking, bicycling, and equestrian use, and is off limits to motorized vehicles. However, a couple of months ago, when my daughters were riding their horses on the trail, they were approached by dirt bike riders. It surprised them and their horses, and fortunately, they weren't hurt. I'm here today to voice my concern about keeping motorized vehicles off the trail. My main issue is about safety, but these vehicles also damage the natural environment. Motorized vehicles can spook horses, causing riders and their horses to be injured. People that fall from their horses can be severely injured. They can be paralyzed, have brain damage, or even die. There is also a potential for hikers or bicyclists to be injured if they are run off the trail by motorcyclists. The city is responsible for administering the Atascadero section of the Anza Trail and is responsible for the safety of the people using the trail. The motorcycle and off-road vehicles also damage the natural environment. These vehicles cause soil compaction and they destroy the hiking and equestrian trails. Off-road vehicles also cause ecological damage to the Salinas River watershed. Community members can assist the city police in patrolling the Anza Trail if they have information about how they can help. My daughters had cell phones, and they would have called to report the motorcyclists, but they weren't sure who to contact. My request is for the City Council to provide information to the public about who should be contacted when motorized vehicles are spotted on the trail. The city could post contact information on its website or post signs at the access points at the trail. These are inexpensive ways that the city could help community assist the police patrol the Anza Trail. More community support could help reduce off-road vehicle use, which would improve safety and would help preserve the natural environment of the trail. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Important Marge is to our community. And I hope she's sitting at home tonight watching this. I'm sure she's listening. I'm sure she's listening to everything that's going on. And I just hope we can all say happy birthday to Marge. I think that would please her.
Happy birthday, Marge.
Happy birthday, Marge.
Happy birthday, Marge.
Let's give her a hand.
I'm glad we were informed of that. Anyone else want to speak tonight at Community Forum? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close Community Forum. And let's bring it back to staff to address a couple of items. I know the concern about fast food restaurants and the numbers, and I know that is a concern of mine, and it's a concern I've heard from other members of the public. I could support bringing this back to council if there's
it's
support
from
other council.
It's not a concern of mine. I'll let you know that right
okay.
now.
And I anybody think else
if,
have
if
a concern
you don't have
the council,
use of your
like
legs, you know.
I don't have a concern for it either. I think right now they're accepted projects within the city.
I wouldn't mind reviewing it, but it would be a fairly low priority at yeah. this point.
Okay.
Tom? By the way, in the downtown, it's restricted.
Okay? Right, that's correct.
It's in the
correct.
Other areas. And again, we have to look at everybody, people that are disabled,
well,
people
we can't discuss it. I'm sorry.
Well.
So either I need another person to support this so we can bring this back. If we don't have a third person, then we can't bring it back.
I don't like you have a second person.
Roberta.
Low priority.
Low priority.
Let's
so seeing that there is no third, is there a third?
No, I just want to remind everybody about McGee's that way and Guest House Grill this way, and there's a whole lot of restaurants in town. That right.
So there doesn't seem to be council support for reviewing that. Now, Ms. Hampshire had just brought up the concern of dirt bike riders, and staff, do you want to address that? I know it is a concern of mine as well. What is the city doing?
I was consulting with Warren here, and we have been told that when the dirt bike riders are back there, by the time we're given the call, the dirt bike rider is long gone. It's very difficult to enforce that. I think that doesn't mean it's not a concern or shouldn't be a concern for that neighborhood or for the issues. Mm-hmm. I think the chief has heard these things, and maybe we can have a follow-up conversation to see if there's something we can do. But by the time we send a unit over there, the person riding the motorcycle is going to be long gone. Mm-hmm. It's not like we have a motorcycle, too, to chase them through the river. So I think that's a challenge, just the mere function of a person being on a dirt bike that's maneuverable and fast and us trying to get to them, that's uh-huh. difficult, but I think we can still try and see what we might be able to do, and I can
ask the chief. I know that I've been down by the Hallman Grove and seen, you know, friends help each other hoist the bikes over the little barrier. It's not that hard to do, and I said, you know, this is not a motorized, of course, me being who I am, I said, it's not allowed use. Oh, well, we're just trying to get back home. So people will always come up with a reason. But I don't know if the barrier is not adequate enough. Chief, can you address if there's a different system we can put in place to make it more difficult or a way to post a contact number to make it easier for your staff? Could you address those two things?
Thank you, Mayor. Regarding the cell phone usage, it's always prudent to, rather than try and figure out what telephone number to call, is to dial 911. If you do that on a cell phone, that number will either, depending on the area you're in, will either go to the agency of jurisdiction, which is us, or to the highway patrol, who will route that call to us in any event. We always respond a patrol car to that location to see if we can identify the perpetrators there, either by counseling them and identifying them for our records or issuing a citation if they're on the roadway with an illegal type of a motorcycle. What complicates matters is if they wind up down in the river bottom, we don't have the ability to go after them into the river bottom. We don't have that type of vehicle that would do that. However, we certainly work closely with the Sheriff's Department. If we identify that they're moving toward a county area, then we can contact the Sheriff's Department to see if a deputy can come out from the other side or a different location and maybe apprehend them at the other side. And even if we don't see any violation of law, we can counsel them on the proper use of that vehicle or what they should do around pedestrians and horses. So we take those complaints very seriously, and we do respond a unit every time we do get a call for service on that. As far as the barriers and such, I'd have to work with Warren on that and go out and take a look at what the exact barriers look like to determine whether they're a penetrable issue or not.
Could you look into it and just bring it back at another time?
I will.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes. It is a very difficult thing because, you know, we live along the river there, and people, they're there 1 minute, and the next minute they're 2 miles away. So, you know, you come down and they're not there. That particular barrier you're talking about is a single barrier, and it is not sufficient, really, the one right by the county yard there. But the problem is we need to have a place where the dirt bike people can ride. You know, we don't. And
multiple uses. I think that would be some. We would. It falls under tourism and recreation and many other areas. And I think that would be worth some more discussion. Maybe strategic planning. We could devote more time to it this summer, perhaps. But it sounds like there's some consensus to get some more.
So you want to allow use on the De Anza Trail for motorized vehicles?
No. What I'm saying is we. Thank you for asking that question and clarifying.
Okay.
I think we have a lot of different uses where we need to make sure they're compatible, that we have some areas for bikes, some areas for horses. We need areas for motorcycles, and we need each group to respect each other's area. And
that's the key word, respect.
Thank you. Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, Councilmember Fonzie?
I, too, share the concern for safety, in particular on the trail. Having ridden horses in that area myself, I know it can be a really scary experience if they're spooked. I would like to have this come back to the council at a later date and also have covered perhaps the liability issues for the trail that I think Ms. Hampshire raised that issue, that the city has some responsibility for maintaining that safety, and that means revising the signs or making the barriers higher. We need to address that.
Councilman Kelly.
Yes. Having been a horse owner and a horse rider, I'm aware of the problem. It is a very dangerous situation. Although through my lifetime, from a young age, I've been involved in motorcycles. And in my earlier years, I was the chasee. In later years, I was the chaser. And very rarely do you ever catch them. They'll always get away. So I think what we need to do is have an education program. on what the hazards are for these motorcycles to be on these trails. And then at the same time, we have to provide an alternative, where they can go ride, where it is safe. So I would like to see us come back and be a leader again, as we're trying to be in the North County. And maybe we can get a motocross course set up on some property near town and work with the people and everybody get along. And, yeah, it's going to make a little bit of noise on a weekend, but I think we can give and take a little bit. So I would be all for, you know, going ahead and looking into this a little bit further.
Councilman Clay?
Yes, just one other thing. The river is kind of split in two. You've got the county side and we got our side. So it's very easily for riders just to go over the county side and it's a lot more country over there and so on. But it would be nice. I like the educational part. I used to walk down in that area, by the way, and I'd come across the people on motorcycles and stop them and say, hey, if you come across a horse, just shut down, okay, and let them go by. And most of the kids understood that, but I think there's an education process. I don't know whether we're ever going to keep everybody out of the river. They're going to find a way. But I like the education part. If we could ever have a place where they could ride legally, that would be great.
So it sounds like there's some interest in having this come back. So, Chief, would you work with Warren on that? Do you want any clarification of what we want are interested in learning about?
No, I understand, and I'll work with Warren on it.
Well, okay. I'll pass these items on to the city manager, and we'll take a look at this and look at your future agendas list and try and plug in a discussion at a future date. Your next few meetings are pretty crowded, so we'll try and see.
It'll be later on.
So I'll pass this on to him, and he'll check in with you
okay.
and how we'll
Great.
Deal with it. Thanks, Mayor.
Okay. I believe I touched on the item with Marge and her birthday. I think it'd be good for the city to do a presentation for Marge and her lifelong contribution if we can direct the city. I know Alps is working on that. I'll work with the city manager to connect. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so that concludes the community forum. We'll go to our first public hearing, which is the highlight of our evening. The Atascadero's Tourism Study and Marketing Plan, as presented by Carl Roboto of the Strategic Marketing Group and Brady's Cherry.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Bayrow and members of the City
Council.
Hold
on just a second. Councilmember O'Malley, did you have to?
Well, I was just wondering about the ex parte, if you're doing that before or after.
Staff. When would you like us to do ex parte, Brian?
Usually do it at the beginning.
Okay, so Brady, hold on to your hat just for a second, and we'll go down the line, and if there's any ex parte, none from Councilmember Kelly, none from Councilmember Fonzie, none from me. Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, I'm proud to say, actually, I was chairperson of the Economic Vitality Corporation when we did our regional countywide tourism study, and in the process of that, we suggested that we look to individual cities to see if they would like to, while we were bringing in our internationally renowned consultant on tourism in our area, we were able to have, for a very small additional cost, any individual city participate. And I believe we had a fairly small investment as a city, but we got quite a bit of study for that and pleased to have worked with that. And I know we've all worked with folks in the tourism community to see this come forward.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Can everyone hear me okay at this level? Excuse my voice. I've got a little bit of a travel cold here lately. Before I start, I want to thank city staff. Been very, very helpful. Jim Lewis, I want to personally thank you. Marcia has been terrific. Brady, you have a terrific staff. Whenever I need something or wherever I need some inside input, they've been very, very helpful in providing it. So I do want to thank them before I get going on the project. As you know, we did the county study, and as a part of that, we're able to bring some pieces of that study over into individual area projects. And I think I was really glad to see Atascadero become part of this. And I know that there was a significant interest in trying to lift tourism and create more of an identity for Atascadero. And I think you'll see some of those thoughts within the plan. I'm going to move quickly through the front. I know there's a little bit of a press for time here. You got to drive to Sacramento, I've heard. So duly noted. And I will make sure Brady gets a copy of this report. So you have this on file at your leisure if you'd like to take a look at it some more. really the project goal was very simple, to provide the city of Atascadero and the business community with a comprehensive tourism marketing plan for future tourism and promotional efforts. There was a whole list of objectives attached to that. I'll let you read those at your leisure. They're in the report. But clearly we tried to apply appropriate objectives throughout the project. The plan is really broken into three conceptual pieces. There's a planning component, an organizing component, and an implementation component. And you'll see that as you go through the plan. For those of you who have not had a chance to have some nice pre-bed reading, you'll appreciate the way we organize these things, hopefully in a logical flow. But again, the end results are implementation. We wanted to give your city and those involved in tourism specific recommendations they could use today, starting today or whenever we sent you the final plan, that they could begin to incorporate to improve their overall tourism efforts. I got a few charts here. I'm not going to bore you to death. I'll fly through these. Obviously, the TOT trend had softened, and I'm sure if we looked at the 08-09 projections, they'd be even a little bit nastier. And trust me, you are not the only destination seeing these trends. It is very, very much countrywide and specifically California-wide. One of the things, this is, I think, of interest, we do a fair share analysis where we look at Atascadero's share of rooms versus share of revenues. And this is where I think we begin to uncover some interesting insight. The fact that you have about 3.76% of the rooms but only generate 2% of the revenue at the time of the study was something that, you know, is of interest, that you're not necessarily getting a fair share. And that's sort of a warning flag that goes up when you're not getting fair share and something to take a closer look at. Our rough analysis, if you could get fair share, you'd increase your lodging revenue significantly as well as your TOT revenues. And I know TOT is something that every city council everywhere is very anxious on. So there's an opportunity there to improve overall your efforts. You have a very favorable lodging mix, probably one of the best in the county in terms of brand versus no brand. And one of the benefits of having brand lodging, and I know brands are a very touchy issue, and I know you have to have a good mix and a balance, but one of the things that brands do bring is they bring national distribution and international distribution through their nationwide and international systems. And when we compared San Luis Obispo County to Monterey County and Santa Barbara County, San Luis Obispo County was woefully under mixed compared to these other competitors. And so it puts a lot of pressure on mom-and-pop motels to drive demand, which is very, very difficult. So you have a fairly favorable brand mix. Here's something that is, again, concerning. We do a matrix called the Tourism Promotion Funds per Available Room, and we compared, San Luis Obispo County to Santa Barbara and Monterey, and found out San Luis Obispo came up very short in that comparison. And then within the county, we did another comparative, and we see that Atascadero is at roughly $124 per available room, whereas Pismo Beach is at about $270 and so forth. So you begin to see some funding issues. And I know funding is a tough issue to deal with, and I have some suggestions as we get through this. We did a very basic SWOT analysis. You can see that. Your strengths, obviously, is your proximity in the county, special events. You have a tourism promotion infrastructure that exists. The history, and I'll talk a little bit more about that because I think that's really going to be one of the driving in terms of what they're doing. Let me slow down just a little bit here, the vision. We put together a vision, and I want to emphasize three separate elements here because I think it's really important and really goes to the heart of how you become different from everybody else in this county. The first is to differentiate Atascadero by promoting the authenticity of the destination and its attractions, its history, and local culture. And authenticity is a critical word because it really is the formation of what makes you different as a community from other communities. And it really is sort of the way to not just be another place in San Luis Obispo County. By reaching deeper into the history and the authenticity of the community is really what makes you special and what makes you unique. And the more you can communicate that and bring that forward to people, I think you make your community a more interesting destination. Two, to take into consideration the interests and needs of current and potential visitors, local tourism-related businesses, and local governments. Obviously, that has to all work together. It doesn't work when one is out of sync with the other, and you really need a partnership to make some of these things work. And then finally, respect for the environment and the values of the community. There's no question that you don't want tourism that impacts or has a negative impact on the environment. You want a sustainable approach to these things. You also want to respect the community and what their thoughts are and how this whole tourism approach begins to work together. The strategic goals were really four in nature. Economic, obviously, is key because of the revenues, taxes, and employment that are absolutely critical to city functions. Consumers, to position Atascadero as a unique niche price point destination within the county as a way to attract visitors. Obviously, environment, natural resources, educating the traveling public about the area's environment, natural resources, and all the things that you do have here. And again, your local community. And I'm going to keep stressing that local community. It's an absolute essential part of tourism and the character of why people travel and what they like to see in different destinations and communities. Preserving those community values and lifestyle through communication of your assets in an authentic manner that maintains the integrity and pride of the local culture. I really can't say enough about that aspect. I mean, a lot of people think tourism is just let's have some hotels and some attractions, and it really has to go beyond that. Maybe that's the old way of doing it, but it doesn't work effectively, and you have a unique opportunity being a small destination to really be something different. The marketing strategy platform, as we call it, are really two things. One, you have to differentiate the destination. I talk to a lot of people, and I mean no disrespect whatsoever to Atascadero, but a lot of people said, well, they just fill when Paso fills, okay? Or they're an adjunct to Paso was the notion of a lot of conversations I had. And that has to stop, okay? If there's any thinking in that direction, it really has to stop. Paso's Paso, you're Atascadero, and you really got to think in terms of your own identity, your own brand, and your own sort of sense of being and place. And not worry too much about it. I mean, I've heard a lot of conversations about when the fairgrounds, you know, there's a big thing at the fairgrounds, oh, then we'll fill, other than that, you know. And I just think you got it. You're never going to be someplace if you're always on the heels of somebody else. And so I would urge everyone in the public sector and the private sector, you know, to just act like you belong. You guys have some cool stuff here. You're building some neat things in town. And I think, you know, it's very, very helpful to you begin to differentiate the destination based on the history and culture that you have. Secondly, internet and technology. I can't stress enough that tourism marketing is moving way fast into technology platforms. Web 2.0, I don't know how many council people have Facebook accounts. I'd urge you all to get them. Twitting, has anyone been twitting the meeting here lately? I mean, all these things are sort of standard tools now in the tourism world. And we think that these are low-cost tools. So a destination with a small budget has the ability to be effective and compete effectively with a proper website and all those tools that go with that. And these are really the two strategic pieces to, I think, improved tourism here in Atascadero. When we talk about differentiating the destination, the key is not to duplicate other county destinations, okay? You don't need or don't want to be just like somebody else. Just be yourself because you're never going to get someplace if you follow someone else. And reaching deep into your local culture is the way to differentiate your destination. when we look at the history here, there's a lot of rich history about Itasca. That is some key ways to differentiate the destination. We love the brand that they're the brand that you guys have come up or have had for many years. Obviously, we think it's right on the mark and right on the money. In terms of internet technology, again, I can't emphasize enough, 80% of all travel planning now is taking place on the internet. And what's great about the internet is you can be a small little community with not a huge budget and look like you're a big player if you do it right and you do it well. And so the economies of scale really don't favor the big necessarily anymore when we're talking about technology and internet marketing space. So there's, again, significant opportunity in that realm for you guys. We even developed a model for you, a business model. Too often tourism destinations do programs, okay? But what we've done is we've created a business model, and that business model is very simple. It's your strategy, which is driven through all the communication mechanisms, whether they're special events, visitor center, and so forth, to your target markets that drive through that website. Everything has to be driven through that website. The numbers have to be studied intently. There's back-end analytics for everything on a website now. You can tell what places people go, what places they don't go, and what to change, how to change it, and so on and so forth. Those have to drive through to your lodging property, and then people either book a vacation. The other great thing is it creates measurement. You know if you're moving the needle or not every month when you look at those back-end analytics. So we encourage destinations like Atascadero to drive everything through those websites, a website, and make sure it's measured and people are acting on the feedback from those websites. But when you think about tourism and the groups get together, everybody should be talking about driving something through the website, because that's where it all happens nowadays. Target markets, obviously Southern California, the Central Valley, very key to you, although I wouldn't throw Northern California out either because of your access. And again, you have a very unique, I think I read somewhere you are the central point in the state, is what I've heard. So I think, again, you have a very significant opportunity, and especially from Southern California and Central California. And then within the plan, we put in tactics for every single one of these areas to help guide your tourism efforts with very specific action items that I think if they check off the boxes and keep moving down the list, I think you'll make some of the positive changes that we'd like you to do and we think you'll benefit from. And then finally, we even gave you some budget recommendations. And I know you guys contribute about $50,000 to the budget. I would like to say, and I would encourage the local lodging group and lodging players in town to begin to think about a BID. You guys are ripe for a BID, and I would really think that the private sector would see the upside potential in lodging revenue, and you guys could see the upside potential in tax revenue if we were to look at that opportunity cost of getting fair share in better balance. And so, you know, if you had additional budget dollars, you know, we just provided you with some guidelines. They don't have to be, you know, exact, but some guidelines to think about how those dollars could be allocated. But I really would like to urge, I don't know if any lodging folks are here, but certainly it's a topic. I do a lot of BID consulting work for tourism destinations throughout the state, and there's over 50 of them now that are tourism-specific BIDs. But I do know it has to come from lodging. They are absolutely essential to bring the issue forward. But I think the opportunity cost of not doing it is key. And to be honest with you, there are counties now that are doing these BIDs in the teeth of a recession because they want to come out of this recession strong. And so, again, I think there's some opportunities there on the funding side to get some more public-private partnership. That's it for my presentation. I know that there's lots of data in the report, and certainly if you ever have a chance to read the county report, there's a ton of stuff that we put together. And again, I can't urge you enough that you have something good. Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of development, a little bit of working with it, but be a Atascadero and do it really well. That's all for my comments. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Roboto. I'll take questions from the council. We'll start with Councilmember Clay, then we'll open it up to the public.
Just a statement. The beauty of Atascadero is our strongest asset. I mean, this is a beautiful area. And the other thing is you didn't mention the hub, but, you know, we've talked a lot about that over the past few years, that we are the hub. You know, and I noticed there's a picture here of Atascadero, and you got the Hearst Castle and the wine country and recreation.
Right, that you're saying we need to drive everything to the internet and then disperse it from there. Is our Visit Atascadero website in good shape, in your opinion, or does it need quite a bit of work?
We think it need. We gave specific recommendations. We think there's significant opportunity to upgrade and make changes. We study these things a lot. And in the marketing plan, there are some very specific recommendations for upgrading the website, not just as a brochure, but as a marketing tool. And so we've gone to great lengths because we think that is so essential.
And in your opinion, using the colony end of it, not just Atascadero, but say Atascadero Colony or Colony of Atascadero, has a certain cachet, is that correct?
Yes, it differentiates the destination. And people say, well, what's this colony thing? Then you have the opportunity to tell the whole story. Mm-hmm. Okay, Atascadero is shorthand. Okay, but Atascadero Colony allows you to tell for people to be, what does that mean? Now you can tell the whole story of what's going on here and why people should come here and see the architecture and hear about the history and all the rest of that stuff.
Thank you.
And just to tag on to that, I know for myself, I've done a lot of website looking at for traveling for my own family, and that really has changed. And I really think you've hit it right on the money in terms of your recommendations. In question of the Business Improvement District, or the BID, it's usually driven by lodging, but
yes.
Are there usually other businesses that join that as well, or is it usually only lodging that does that?
I happen to come from South Lake Tahoe, where it's snowing today, so I'm very glad to be here. We were the first destination to try and incorporate properties other than lodging, retail, and restaurant. And even in a self-contained basin, it was politically untenable for our city council. And so the lodging industry said, you know what, we really don't have the time to deal with this. We'll just form our own. I do understand that in Santa Rosa they are looking at a first-ever restaurant BID. So I suspect there'll be other tweaks and models coming along, but I think overall most every one of the 50 or so are lodging-based.
And is that because also the way that you collect the money is through a tax or a fee per
Correct.
Room?
It's a very clean collection process.
Right.
Usually what happens is the properties agree to assess themselves. You contract with the city or county to do the collections. The money rolls over to the tourism promotion agency. A little more detail than that, mm-hmm. but that is a very clean collection process that makes it nice and easy. So
essentially, if other businesses want to be involved in that, they would join their main street or their chamber.
Correct.
And then they use
Usually
a portion of their money.
Usually, is where you see a lot of them. So.
Okay. Okay. Okay, that was my question. Councilmember O'Malley.
Yes, and I was just going to briefly comment the fact that we aren't going to be asking a lot of questions tonight or exhibiting a lot of ideas is this is the first of many steps in our community to focus on tourism. It's been a priority. We've got plans for some action plans to come back out of the study, and we'll be discussing it at many more council meetings. And we do have some unique things we're focusing on, not only developing our own unique events,
yep.
but also our unique venues. We are championing something what I call boutique event centers. So let Paso have its large dusty parking lot.
There you go.
We've got a lot of unique locations throughout our community that we can focus on, and I think we have many opportunities to implement this plan, and we'll have many more discussions after tonight.
That's a kind of creative thinking you got to have, and I urge you to bring the community into more and more of these sorts of things, because really that's where the ideas kind of ferment. And then they sort of bubble up. So anytime you can get the community more involved in a lot of these sort, I love these ideas, these mini event things. I think it's a great idea. So yeah,
we're going full steam ahead. So
go for
thank
it.
You for your input.
Councilman Kelly.
Yes, I really liked your report. It really showed us where we're at and where we should go. And I think your idea about using the internet and a web page is just a really great one. I would like to see us consider maybe the Main Street Chamber of Commerce and the city getting together and doing a whole tourist package of all the groups together that's interactive. I know when I travel, and I think most people do, the first place you go is to the internet, and there's really good web pages and there's really bad ones.
There are.
And I think it would behoove our city to look into really putting a really good web page together. So I appreciate your report and thank you. It was very good.
My pleasure.
Okay, so it looks like we're ready to open it up to public comment. And before we do that, I would want to ask Mr. Cherry when we expect action plans and things like that to come back to us.
Well, you probably received a memo just this week.
I downloaded it and read it. It's a very good report. I think it's really interesting to see someone from an outside perspective take a lot of the ideas that have been discussed sort of piecemeal in the past, but put them together in a cohesive fashion and at the same time give credibility to some of the ideas that have been expressed in the past. I know that in the conversations that we've had in the past that we in Main Street have stressed that tourism in Atascadero really needs to be kind of a three-legged stool. And it's really underscored in this report in our need to create an end destination, probably by creating more and better special events, capitalizing on cultural tourism, which we've really missed the boat on in the past because we have unique history here in Atascadero that would really appeal to the cultural tourist, and also pursue the fact that one of our strengths are the small, intimate gathering places in and around Atascadero that can bring in small to medium-sized groups from outside of the area. So it was a very interesting report to read and good to see all those things together in one place, and we're looking forward to help the city make those things a reality.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening, members of council. This reading the report is a very good report. I just had a personal question. My name is Bill White. I'm here representing the Atascadero Professional Firefighters Local 3600. Is I was wondering if we could ask Mr. Roboto what his thoughts are of the proposal to convert one of our lodging centers into a residential care facility and taking away that potential tourist attraction of Atascadero. If he has heard that or seen that in a report or addressed that.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening. Excuse me. Madam Mayor, members of City Council, my name is Chuck Ward. I've came here 4 years ago, and during that time I've talked to a lot of people outside of this area that have come down and stayed with us and had an opportunity to drive them around and get their input. And this is truly a remarkable area. And I say this from someone that has spent the last 30 or 40 years living in Marin County, and everybody thinks that's heaven. Well, this is just, I think it is just as beautiful a place as you can find anywhere in California. But I'm also a business guy, and I like to look at practical things. And in my mind, this city is unique in this region for two things. It has a zoo. It has a marvelous zoo. It has a zoo that has great attraction for kids. I can't tell you how many times I've taken my grandmother there. And now we have the Veterans Memorial right next to the zoo. And thanks to the work of the Veterans Memorial Foundation and the Marine Corps League, this whole section of 101 is going to be part of the National Purple Heart Trail. And I've talked to a number of veterans that have visited this memorial from out of town. And I can tell you, every year there's tens of thousands of veterans that get out on the road and tour these national monuments. And a lot of them are going to come here. And when they come here, they're going to take their kids over to the zoo, up to this wonderful lake park, and they'll probably take them to a theater that night at Colony Square. So I think we've got some real-world things that we can put on our website, and I think
just this Veterans Memorial alone is going to be one of the high points of giving people a reason to come to this city. And I've been very proud to be a part of it. And I invited Carl to on his way back to swing by the Veterans Memorial and take a look at it and just get this up here. And perhaps when he comes back, he can give us some good ideas on how we can incorporate that into a master plan. So I thank you very much, Madam Mayor and the City Council members.
Thank you. Welcome.
Barbie Boots, a resident of Atascadero. And today I had the pleasure of being on KPRL on Sound Off in place of Steve Martin, who was busy with another Main Street activity. And I thought it was going to be on for 30 minutes, and it turned out to be an hour. And I had a few pages of calendar information that what we're doing on Main Street. And it was amazing how Dick Mason and I were able to talk for an hour about Atascadero and things that are going on all over Atascadero, including the Easter baseball tournament, all these things that are happening. And it was exciting, and I'm thrilled with this report. But it was exciting to sit there for an hour and be able to.
As about a third of our TOT, is that? And it can staff a third, a half?
Less? Michelle out there? I don't have that specific number in front of me. Brady, do you?
Okay. And it is a significant portion of our TOT.
It's a good chunk of the hotel tax.
So it's just a question of whether the demand gets dispersed into other areas or you lose the demand completely. And I really haven't looked at it closely enough to advise you one way or the other. But certainly it's always troubling when properties close down or shift use. As in this case. So, but to give you a definitive, I don't have enough.
Let me just ask this one question. This question came up in my mind after we had deliberated on that topic. Because it's a Best Western, so that's a brand. And
right.
So if Atascadero drops off that brand's list,
yep.
Will they most likely just go to another Best Western,
brand
or would they actually search
Western
for another Atascadero location?
Well, people that are brand loyal to Best Western will probably go down the list of the next place, which puts it somewhere else. Other folks will look at it from another perspective and say, well, where else is there to stay? That's where you're going to get the issue of dispersion to existing properties, or you'll get loss, leakage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how that market will split on that property, but those will be the two outcomes.
Okay, thank you for that feedback. I'm sorry, Mr. Roboto. Councilman Clay has another question for you.
On the hub here, I notice you've got recreation. What do you consider recreation?
Well, I love your trail.
The what now?
Your trail that you guys spend a lot of time talking about. You guys have a trail. I talked to road riders. This area is great for road biking. There's a lot of different recreational pieces that fit in. Again, I was only aware of the trail. This is a good story. I was only aware of the trail because a friend of mine lives here, and he told me about it. I didn't see it. I didn't grab it anywhere easy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Easy. And certainly, I love your discussion. I don't want to get into a political thing on motorcycles, but I love your discussion of can you facilitate something like that? I mean, but you do have really nice pieces of recreation that I think more people would know about. I mean, hiking trails is a very, very, very important piece of people's recreational experience. And frankly, I didn't hear about it till a friend of mine who lives here said, oh, don't forget the trail. And I'm like, what trail? Well, then I got the whole dissertation on what the trail was. So,
yeah, there's several trails. There's the Jim Green Trail and so on. How about golf? Do you consider that a recreation?
You guys have, yeah, I do.
We have a nice golf course. And the other thing is with the school, they have like the wrestling tournaments. It'll be over a whole weekend, and a lot of times there's hundreds of wrestlers, and they fill in, they stay here, the parents come.
Sports tourism is very, very
right.
Key.
And then we have softball, the traveling teams, the tournaments, all those things. the baseball, you know, tournaments and so on. I think those are very important. I think the school has a very important piece of this whole puzzle here. And we have a beautiful track, by the way, you know, that people come from all over, you know, to use our track in Atascadero.
I've never seen a community go wrong by investing a dollar in recreation.
Right. Okay, well,
thanks. Good point to end on.
What's that?
It's a good point to end on.
Yeah, I know, especially if you want to go to Sacramento.
Okay, so bringing it back to staff, it was in our staff report, was this document. It will also be available just on the website if someone goes to it.
Yes, right now it's on the website as part of this staff report, but we'll make it easier to find on the city's website so somebody looking for this can find it without having to go looking through council agenda packets and things
right,
like that.
Because it's item B1 of this council meeting, but it should be available, or it will be available on our website.
Yes.
And I think that's all the comments, feedback from that. So bringing it back to the council, this is a receive and file. So should we do so?
Yes, receive okay, and file.
Okay, so receive and file. Any other additional comments, Mr. Cherry? Okay, so let's move on.
Mayor, I'm going to suggest we table C1 for a later time. We've had a lot of discussion on some other areas this evening. I think that's been good. I don't think there's
okay.
anything pressing on that. So I would move we table or
is there a consensus?
Move C1 to a
is there a consensus meeting? To move it to a future meeting? Is that okay with you, Mr.
Our
Lewis?
Staff report was really just 2 minutes to ask you to endorse that those were your goals. And so if we could take 2 minutes to take
on
yeah,
each of them.
I appreciate the councilman's suggestion.
Okay. So I guess we will table that one. It looks like we're trying to save time here, correct?
It's
and then item C2.
We'll call you up
yeah. appointment of the city council ICLEI liaison. Should we
like,
go ahead and...
I'd like to nominate Bob Kelly.
I think we have a staff report.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
A little discussion.
Okay, I'd like to comment on that.
I withdraw my motion.
How about we hear from Roberta whether she
good
wants
setup,
to do
Jerry.
It? I'd be happy to serve. I think it actually dovetails very well with the Air Pollution Control District because it is addressing greenhouse gases, so it would be an easy transition for me.
Okay, so I'll put that in the form of a motion, nominate Roberta Fonzi to fill that position.
Just discussion. I want to know what greenhouse gases look like. I've never seen one.
At a later date.
Okay.
They're invisible.
We're waiting for a second.
I think I seconded
okay.
Roberta.
Okay, so motion by Councilmember O'Malley, seconded by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor Bayrou?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay, we're breezing right through it. Item C3, budget plan for 2009-2011. And I believe that's Rochelle.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Barreau. And this, too, will be a fairly quick staff report. I just want to keep you updated on the budget and the progress that we're making on the budget. And tonight, I just want to remind you that our city revenues are continuing to decline. I've been giving you updates. I know our numbers have been sliding, and unfortunately they've been sliding in the wrong direction as we refine further and further. So wanted to give you the update that where 2 weeks ago we were thinking the gap was around $3.5 million, we're now up to about $3.7 million. On the good news front, expenses have been cut significantly. Staff has come, and all the departments have really come to the table and went above and beyond on the cuts. We're continuing to look at cuts, but there is still a budget gap, and we are closing it. Sorry, I ran out here, and I'm kind of winded here. The recommendation tonight is just to receive and file the report. The community impact, basically as we were doing this budget and as we're trying to figure out what the priorities are. Our focus is to protect public services to the maximum extent possible. However, the public will be seeing some decreased service levels in some areas. Most of those are going to be in decreased, more deferred maintenance. We're not putting away the reserves. We're not putting away our building replacement reserves. So the buildings are going to deteriorate a little bit more. Some of our infrastructure is going to deteriorate a little bit more. We're not going to see the road projects that we have in the past, although we will have some of that going on. and the cost of government is going to shrink substantially during the next budget year. I wanted to kind of just briefly remind everybody how we got here. As we said, we've been giving you updates over the last year or so on the budget picture. I think a year ago we were talking about a $2.5 million budget gap. That seemed to be fairly realistic all the way up through December. I know several of you attended Bill Watkins' economic forecast in November. If you remember at that time, he wasn't even talking necessarily major recession at the time. He was thinking that housing prices were going to bump back in 2009. Those were most of the projections that we're talking about. By December or January, February is basically when all the numbers started coming in, it's become apparent that this isn't just a slight recession. It's not a short-term thing. We're looking a lot longer term than that. I know Councilmember O'Malley and Kelly attended a workshop on Friday where they showed several pictures like this. This is unemployment, and you can see the steep increase. I think that's Monterey County is the blue line. But it happened everywhere, where in January you all of a sudden saw a huge jump up in your negative economic indicators. Overall, as I said, all revenues are down. I mean, you start looking through the budget, even the small revenues are down. My sales tax, a year ago we were thinking we had already survived the worst of it. We had a 10% decrease last year. We figured, okay, we lost Atascadero Ford. We lost some of our other revenue sources. We pretty much have hit the worst of it. It should flatten out. Well, we continue to see about another 11% decline this year. And our sales tax consultants are projecting another slight decline next year, about 4 to 5%, mainly due to lower gas prices and just the bad economy. So our sales tax projections are down in the $2.9 million range as opposed to over $4 million in 2006-07. Property taxes, again, a year ago, I confidently stood up here and said, you'll see a flattening, but you'll never see a negative. Just because we have never seen a negative since Prop 13, I was wrong. We are going to experience our first negative property tax growth. We are one of the lucky cities. We're only looking at about 0.5% negative property tax growth, but compare that to a percent growth that we were hoping for. Development revenues, that's unfortunately a recurring theme. Revenue estimates, this is how they shake out. So property tax is still by far and away our largest revenue source at $7.5 million and so on down the line for a total of $16.4 million. Again, compare that to the $20 million that we were projecting, the $20 million that we received in just a year or two ago, and now we're down to $16.4. Expenditure estimates, this is where we are today with cuts that staff has agreed to. We're looking at employee services of $13.3 million, operations of about $4.5 million, and projects of about $0.4 million. So right now we have cut operations by about 21%. By operations, we mean all the services, supplies, gas, paper, all of those types of things, by about 21%. We've cut our projects, which is all of our capital, by about 50%. And employee services, that includes the frozen positions, at around 6%. What have we done? We formed a budget work group that was meeting weekly to go over budget, try and get information out, try and discuss different budget opportunities, savings, and areas like that. We did do a 5% across-the-board operations cut. Every department was able to cut that. That resulted in savings about $160,000. We've cut programs for about $520,000, and that's everything from televising, Chamber of Commerce. I'll go through a bunch of details next week or next council meeting. Sorry. And suspension of replacement programs. So we're not going to be doing our building replacement, our roads programs, some of those programs where we try and fix our infrastructure. We've been very aggressive in economic development, opening up the Office of Economic Development, trying to bring those revenues into the city. We're going to be using some one-time money, some one-time windfalls, or areas where we thought we were going to spend money that we didn't, to balance the budget. We investigated voluntary leave and separation programs. We've frozen positions of $704,000. These are positions that became vacant during the year and that we have not refilled. And we're going to use $1 million worth of reserves. We're recommending no new salary or benefit increases, and we're going to be eliminating a lot of the outside service contracts and trying to bring those in-house. We reduced travel and training by $33,000, and we're reducing support to outside agencies. That's the Chamber, EVC, some of those, which are based on our revenues. So obviously, as the revenues go down, so does the support. And we're reducing other capital projects other than roads by about $106,000. Use of reserves, we've talked about this several times over the last few years. Our plan is to use about $1 million a year of reserves for the next 4 years. So rather than trying to fill up the whole entire gap, we're going to take $1 million from our savings account and do that. This is part of the long-term strategy of the council, where we put away money in good years so that we had money to get us through this, and that's what the plan is. Reductions to date total $2.3 million, and our remaining gap stands at $700,000 to $800,000. We are conducting a final review to make sure we've taken advantage of all reductions. I've met with each department head multiple times, as have Wade. We've talked to the budget work group. We're talking to employees. We're looking for every penny we can get, frankly. But it looks like we're not going to get there without layoffs. So layoffs are imminent. We are reviewing all positions, all funds, all departments, everywhere. We're looking at every possible way to do this to see what is the most beneficial, what has the least impact to the community. The priorities are to maintain core services, to limit the impact to the community, and what is long-term sustainable. So our next steps, obviously, are to close the gap and make some decisions on that. And on April 28th, I'm going to give you an in-depth report on all the revenues, the expenses, reserves, all of the cuts, where they are specifically, and then get directions from you and then implement the savings measures for the final budget.
Thank you, Rochelle. I wish it was a different report. Any questions for Rochelle, Councilmember Clay?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the good news? just looking at this, it seems to me that, you know, our Tractor Supply Store, Colony Square, the development at Del Rio, and the Walmart in the Rodman Group projects are, you know, we got to have those if we're going to survive, the way I look at it. So
I appreciate you giving the report, and I look forward to seeing a more detailed report in a couple weeks. Councilman Kelly, did I see a finger from you? Okay. All right, so that's a receive and file. Back to my list.
Council announcements.
We're right at council announcements. Thank you for the prompt. Any council announcements or reports? Councilman O'Malley.
I did want to mention that Bob Kelly and I went to a business seminar, I guess you could call it, led by Sam Blakesley last Friday. We had cities from two counties represented. Primarily, we're hearing from the business community in our area, and we were all holding our breath a little bit because the business community had some very negative things to say about most cities in a two-county area, and Wade perked up a little bit when Atascadero was the only city that was complimented by some business persons, and it was very exciting to us. Comments were made about, and I think it's because we have folks like Sylvester's who have had a good experience and have talked to other restaurateurs countywide. Word gets around. We heard a lot of comments about appreciating the 7-0 Planning Commission and the 5-0 City Council on many business friendly activities, and so hopefully that reputation is expanding, and we as a council are very concerned about this budget, and we're going to do our part to do what we can to focus on revenues, and we've got a great staff that have sacrificed a lot, and we do appreciate that, and we do what we can to turn this around.
And I know Rochelle has been working weekends trying to find every dollar, so I appreciate all the extra time she's been putting in. Councilman Clay.
Yes, on that line, I just want to compliment Mission Oaks. Big Lot store that went in, man, it's amazing. It's a really nice store, and it's, without any advertisement at all, it's being well attended. So I'd encourage anybody to go in. You're going to really be surprised. It's quite a store. And Big Five, I've been in that, and that is a really nice store, too. And, of course, my favorite store is a dollar store. You know, that's just the way it goes. So things are happening out there, folks, and, please patronize those folks. Kelly's is out there, and it's turning out pretty nice. I think you'll be surprised.
Well, I think the piggyback on that, I mean, the whole buy local idea is really important nowadays. You know, local contractors, local retailers, anyone that you can help, you're helping that family. So it's important that we all stick together through this. We'll move on to committee reports. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd just like to short tail on Tom's statement there. And basically, I really want to put out a heartfelt thank you to the staff that has really been working hard behind the scenes to make our city business friendly. And I think that was quite evident at that meeting. And if you had heard the story of what the gentleman went through in the city of San Luis Obispo, then he stood up and said what a pleasure it was coming to Atascadero with his 7-0 vote. That's just a direct reflection on what our staff is doing to become business friendly, and also to our planning commission for working with staff. So I'm really proud of what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, committee reports. I went to the mayor's roundtable last Friday, and we did talk about centralizing dispatch for police and fire. I discussed this briefly with the city manager, and that will be coming back to us in the next couple of months. And our police and fire are aware of that. It's a study that's being done. It's been originated in Arroyo Grande, and it will likely include us as well. And we do have some finance committee meetings that Roberta and I are going to have to witness, unfortunately. Okay, that's it for me. Councilmember Fonzi, do you have any?
I did attend an air pollution control district meeting, and they're tightening their budget. Things are very tight at air pollution control, but they are continuing on with the greenhouse gas, and we will be involved in hearing more about that.
Councilman Clay, we're about to have our meeting, so I guess you don't have any reports. Councilmember Kelly?
Yes, I attended the Atascadero Youth Task Force, and they're in the planning stages of having a bonanza day, I believe, after school gets out, and that will utilize the new community center, the ballparks, and the skate park that we have. So I'm looking forward to that, and so are the students at the high school.
Great. And just that reminded me, the next mayor's meeting is going to be in Atascadero, and I plan to host it at the community center so we can show off our community center. A lot of them haven't been there before, and I'll report back on how that went.
Good. Well, if you need any waiters down there, give us a call.
Okay. Yeah. Councilmember O'Malley, you have some reports?
Yes, briefly. The Economic Vitality Corporation did take on another study that I've usually thought was a great idea. And I could, how are they going to pull this off? We had a very, and we'll be at the League California Cities meeting the rest of this week. And I think it's very important for us to advocate for our community right now. There's some strategic opportunities, and we will be meeting with a number of our legislative folks and key leaders in different departments to advocate for our community. And as was mentioned, the results of that with our last week's Council of Governments, our city did can't take credit for that $1+ million, but we fought very hard for an additional $267,000 that was not in the budget that we got because our city fought, and we got it. So I was very proud to be part of that and have the appreciate our new city engineer. He didn't waste any time. He was right there with supporting documentation I needed, and we got some extra money, didn't we? So thank you for your support on that. I did want to mention with the Regional Transportation Authority, there is a bike challenge coming up, Mr. Colomarino. I want you to make sure you're aware of this because you'll beat us all, I'm sure. But we do have Bike to Work Week, May 18th through May 22nd. I've got a form for each of us to sign because I'm going to challenge you all. I think if Jim Patterson can ride over the grade to go to work, we can probably hop on our bike and make it to City Hall one time during the week. And so I know Jerry Clay probably can outride me, and Ellen, you know, I know you're a pro, so I'm going to pass this.
Far away.
Yeah.
I have a lot of hills to go.
Oh, not that far.
But I've got a form for each of you to make that commitment, okay. And I think we can pull it off. Jerry, pull that bike out.
Yeah.
We can
dust it off.
I want to see Roberta hauling her clients around on her bike.
Yeah, well, just one day. We'll set an example. And Jerry, you'll be pleased to know my bike came from Walmart, but and
yes,
so
yeah, it's pretty nice too.
Well, it actually was one of their donations to the Veterans Memorial,
that's
and I
true.
Won the bid.
Yeah, right.
So, and with that last item, is Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. What did Wade get me into? But I have been was very honored to be appointed by the governor, and working with Senate confirmation now. I'll go to my first meeting in May, but I've been to countless hours of orientation meetings, and I can tell you the Water Quality Control Board has more lawyers per capita than any other organization. They have got a lot of legal support, and I've been hearing from them, so I should be well prepared with information in the future.
And when he brought up League of Cities, it did also remind me that we did have quite a discussion about the May 19th special election and the propositions 1A through E, which all has to do with the budget and how important it is for all those propositions to pass. And even if they do pass, we will still be short $8 million. So if it doesn't pass, we'll be even worse off.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of a no-win situation, and we did have quite a discussion about that. You'll probably learn about more of that when you're up in Sacramento. So, but get the word out that those need to be passed, or they will probably come back to us looking for money. So I think that ends our reports. Individual determination or action, anyone? Seeing none? Marcia?
One quick one. Actually, this isn't as city clerk, though. I was wanting to just mention to you, actually probably should have brought it up during redevelopment, about the relocation of the tenants in the buildings after the fire. We have, under redevelopment agency, been assisting them on relocation, helping with some of the differential in the rent and helping with the cost of a new sign for their new businesses and business license transfer, et cetera. But I did want to mention the thrift shop. I get a lot of calls and questions about where they're going to be and what's happening. And as of just today, they've actually signed a new lease for the old McNamara building, which is next to traffic Taco Bell, and on El Camino Real. And so they'll be moving in there. In fact, a week from Saturday on the 24th, they're going to be having a barbecue there on site, and they want to make sure everyone's invited. And they will be accepting donations as of that time also, so everyone can start going through their closets and pulling out merchandise that they could then sell. So they're very excited about that. They're really appreciative of everybody's concern, and they are going to be moving on in a new location.
Out of curiosity, is the McNamara building bigger or smaller than their...
It's smaller.
It is a little smaller?
And they are working on, and I didn't ask him this question today, but they were working on getting another building elsewhere that they could be like a drop-off spot and a sorting area, and then they would bring merchandise over to that building. But I'm not sure how they've worked that out, but this one is smaller, yes.
Great. Well, thank you for helping them that arranged. It's really important that we get them back in order. Okay, any others? No, we will adjourn the meeting.
Adjourned.
At 8:25.